It's a fried rice Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho again, and Merry Christmas, and welcome to one of another episode of 8 Crazy Nights of Christmas. I'm your host, Andy Rice. This is Fried Rice Podcast. Let's get fried. With me, as always, it is Brennan. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. His name is Brennan, and he likes to say... Shipley up to Boston.
Ho, ho, ho.
Love it. With me, as always, is my favorite of my elves. It is Michael. He's 10,000 years old, but he only looks like he's in his early 60s. Larson.
Happy holidays, everyone.
And this, of course, is another fun Christmassy episode where we're all in light, fun, teasing mood. Welcome. I'm your Wafflebot. Let's talk about Harold and Kumar. 3D Christmas, or is it the very Harold and Kumar Christmas? Because I think there's two different names. I think there's, okay, there's
three different
names. Oh shit, okay.
A very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas is one of them.
And then a very Harold and Kumar Christmas, but and then a Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. So is there a version that isn't 3D then?
There is not.
Okay, I wish there was.
I think when they put it on TV or whatever, they just called it.
Yeah, my only complaint in this entire movie that's a real complaint is the 3D.
Yeah, mine
too. It's really, like, the only movie that I think can get away with they were fucking around with 3D technology and doing the gimmicky stuff was Jackass 3D.
I think they'd have got away with it in this had we seen it in theaters in 3D.
I saw it in theaters.
I did too.
Yeah.
I saw it in theaters for sure.
Great.
Yeah, I did not.
At the moment, yeah, but I...
Watching it now, yeah, it's weird when you say this. I used it specifically for the 3D, and they even call it out.
Yeah. See, I enjoyed it. Like, even though we weren't watching it in 3D, I was like, well, it's kind of nice to see like a movie using 3D technology the way it's meant to be used. Right. Things popping out at you, like for fun, like versus just showing depth. You know?
When I was a child, I think it must have been Knott's or Six Flags. One of those two amusement parks in California.
Or Disney.
Oh, I don't think it was Disney, because this had more extreme rides. This had, like, loop-de-loops and stuff. So it had to be one of those two. But there was when I was a child, so this is early 90s, there was a 3D theater where I just remember it was a beach scene, and someone threw a Frisbee out, and it looked like the Frisbee went over our heads. And when I saw that, ever since that moment as a kid, I've been obsessed with the idea of 3D. And so I typically go watch 3D. I'll go watch the 3D version. I've jumped off of that a little bit lately. Sometimes a Marvel movie isn't worth watching in 3D because there's too much shit going on.
Do they still have 3D theaters?
Yeah.
Do they?
Well, they do 3D in some of the movies. Like AMCs and stuff in California.
No, they do it here even.
I didn't know they did it here.
But the problem is I think the movie has to be worth it. So like Avatar number 2, I bet had 3D, and it would have been worth checking out.
I still haven't watched that one.
The reason I bought an Oculus Rift was I got the two. Because the 3D.
I should have watched this on Oculus with 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been the way to do it.
Yeah. I do that for all 3D movies.
Oh, that's smart.
So, like, I haven't watched Dune yet, but I have Dune 3D that I'm going to watch on my Oculus. And the way I do with my Oculus is I put my good headphones on and I go full immersive and I lay down. On the couch or on the bed or whatever, and I just watch. And it's because, like I was saying, I've been obsessed with 3D. So it's been like, ever since I found out that we could do VR with our phones, I had VR, that thing where you'd strap up your phone as your VR. The same thing kind of looked like an Oculus, but it just didn't have controllers or whatever. You get 3D that way. I was watching Avatar in 3D on that. I love it. To this day, the best way to watch 3D is with VR, because it's
so immersive, right?
It's so 3D. Like, I watched Avatar a few times, right? Quite a few times with the 3D. The first one, at least. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I have a 3D version of that that I bought, and so I haven't watched it yet, but I've been waiting, just like Dune, and I'm waiting for Dune 2 to do them both back to back. But yeah, I love 3D. So that being said, those movies hold up without 3D. The 3D enhances an already good movie.
Yeah.
This relies on it as a gimmick, and they use it as a joke. And
I mean, you could still look past it, though. Like,
oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah. I did.
It doesn't take me out of the moment. It's just like, I guess when you see the eggs flying at the screen, it's just you're a little bit like,
I wish I could see that the way it was intended is what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, I wish I would have been in 3D. Yeah,
there's other movies I can't think of right now that did. Like, I could think of some Nickelodeon movies, I feel like, that got their hands on a 3D camera and just like, and they kept throwing stuff at the screen. It felt a little bit like that. That's my, like, really my most nitpicky thing is, like, it doesn't, it takes away from the, ongoing, like, if someone 100 years from now who wouldn't understand the, like, why 3D would be such a gimmick to do that.
Why do they want things coming at them?
It doesn't hold up as, like, if you watched The Godfather 100 years from now, it's still The Godfather. If you watched Harold and Kumar 1 100 years from now, it's still a stoner pothead movie. But this one, it's just, it'd be like, that's some strange choices that they're making, is all I'm saying. Legacy-wise, it doesn't hold up as well. But my first note is, I want a waffle bot. And I want a waffle bot so fucking bad. I'll say this right now, that I paused it on the commercial. The fine print for the waffle bot commercial on the bottom says, "Waffle bot hates pancakes. Waffle bot Incorporated is not responsible for sentient actions referred but not limited to the waffle bot end user agreement." That's awesome. I'm like, holy shit, this is great. So it's already like, we're not responsible if this thing goes sentient.
That's awesome.
Fucking love it. I want Christmas wheat.
Yeah, the
Patton Oswalt. Is that
Patton Oswalt? Yeah. Right when I heard the voice, I knew it was Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that was a funny Christmas scene.
It's a Weederful Life.
Here's the thing.
It was a great strain name.
You know what I don't like? And I know this is you're going to think after, if you listen to our Aliens versus Predator episode, which I'm sure Mike brings up all the time since then, is that I'm okay with kids getting killed on screen as long as it's like realistic. What I'm not okay with in this movie is Kumar saying that sexual stuff while he was on Santa's lap in front of all those kids. That was inappropriate. You don't do that. Like, I'm okay with, like, violence. Like, they can see someone. They, like, if a kid saw a street fight.
He's a true American, isn't he?
No,
goddamn,
no.
Chop their head off. That's okay, but don't show a booby. That's America.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
actually, no, that's untrue. I'm way better with a kid seeing a boob than seeing a head chopped off. But I'm better with, like, a kid seeing a fist fight. That maybe ends a little bloody, but, like, you know, just like a fist fight, violence between two people. Then having Kumar, a grown man, being like, you can ride Santa's dick later. Like, that puts shit into the kid's head that doesn't need to be there. That perverts, that perverts innocence. Whereas a fight is just something that happens in nature.
I find that more pervert. I find the blood in fighting more perversion of innocence than I do sex. That's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt it was inappropriate. Well, regardless.
It is. They're both inappropriate.
Regardless,
levels, I'm saying,
Kumar shouldn't have said that.
I think it's just showing that Kumar hasn't changed. Like,
right.
He's still
That's
the
their
same.
Point.
Yeah.
Their point is that he's a kid still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, there's a better choice than in front of kids. Maybe he could have saved that for when they were alone.
I like how that's your problem, not giving the kid cocaine. That one, that's fine.
Actually,
he said my biggest problem with this movie is him saying that stuff. Actually,
hot
giving
the kid
cocaine though and hotboxing the kid is not a problem.
There's about three notes on here. I was like, "Fuck yeah, let's get that kid high." Exactly. I was like, "Cocaine, fuck yeah, let's go." One of my favorite parts is the kid getting high.
But you see the juxtaposition. That's all.
Because here's the thing. Here's the
actual
thing.
Harm is okay
in this in this world.
Brain damage.
She's gonna
is
be
fine.
Okay. We know this. Like, we just know that in this world, this kid, she makes it out okay. She's a supernatural being.
She ends up raving, so
you
at the Christmas party.
Man.
She climbs on the fucking ceiling, and another character who's not on drugs points out that she's a supernatural being. So listen, that's the spawn of the fucking devil. And if the spawn of the fucking devil wants to ride the white lightning, Then let her, bro. I don't want to get in the fucking way. She took on the most notorious and feared man in New York and lived to tell the tale,
yeah.
All while then fucking scoring some E and dancing to a rave party after. She's the most badass character in movie history. At age one or two, she did what Spider-Man took. How long did it take Spider-Man and Daredevil to take down Kingpin? Yeah. She does it in one night, high on cocaine, first night, Christmas Eve. It's a Christmas miracle. I loved it. Bobby Lee.
Oh, that was great. I love the cameos.
Very funny.
Yeah, lots of
was he not in two and one?
He was in one.
He was in one.
I don't know if he was in two.
I think he was. No, I think he was. Okay. There's a little
two was Amsterdam.
Yeah, two was somewhere else.
No, two was not Amsterdam. Two was they
Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Oh God, I haven't seen two in a while.
It's been a minute.
One I've seen a lot. But I love Bobby Lee. He was very funny in this, and he takes all the things. And then I put these 3D gimmicks are lame as fuck. I did write that down. When they jump into the car, I understand that people are throwing eggs. I even understand that someone stands up on the car and pisses on it. Where did the guy get a handful of shit?
He pooped in his hand.
Yeah,
that was pretty extreme. That wouldn't happen in a real life situation.
No kidding.
People have done that in real life.
The rest
actually.
Of this movie is so realistic. That particular thing.
Haven't you ever seen the video of the girl shitting in Tim Hortons and throwing it at the worker?
Oh, Jesus.
Like just...
It does
out, dropping a turd, picking it up,
it
throwing
happen.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You never been to the zoo?
Yeah. Well, I know monkeys do it, but we're not monkeys.
Or the one where the guy's walking in the store and he all of a sudden steps in shit that fell out of the girl's dress in front of him. There's a lot of nasty videos like that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it makes. That's why I look down when I walk in stores.
Jeez.
Yeah, like, I don't want to step
it's
in
affected
shit.
You forever.
Yeah.
Especially out here, dude. Yeah.
Step in shit.
Walking to a bullhead at Walmart, Arizona. I might talk. You might walk into that shit. I like it. So then we get the nerdy kid from. Is he from Sex Drive? No. What's he from?
I don't know if he's from anything.
He is that nerdy kid. He's been in some stuff. He's. Please look that up. Yeah.
He's kind of like a makeshift McLovin almost.
Yeah, but he's been in a few things that he's funny in them. He's not in Greek. He's not in he's something. And you let me know. But when he asks Kumar.
Oh, wait. I think I know what he's talking about. He is on television for the third one.
I don't know if that's it.
On a show called Jake and Amir.
Jake and Amir. Oh, holy shit. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm good.
I don't know that show.
I don't know. That's all I needed to know.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Here's the. So, okay. I'll give you some backstory on Jake and Amir. It is one of the best prank wars that's ever existed. So Jake and Amir, it opens innocent as fuck. It's Amir, I think he's Jake. No, he's Amir.
He's Amir.
So Amir, he listens to the same song every day at lunch. So this dude, what he does is he gets a song, and in the middle of it, he just puts 30 or 20 seconds of whatever of hardcore porn noises of like just the song stops and it's just people fucking real hard. And then then the song continues and he goes on the dude's iPod, replaces the song, does all the shit he needs to so that when the and then he records Amir sitting down and listening to the song, the guy's like, and then like, and then starts fucking. He just stops for a second. And it's like you could see his brain. Like frying a little bit, and then the song continues. Really subtle, good joke, right? Or like good prank. It escalates really badly. Like, I think he gets him back by going up to the audience before Jake is about to perform stand up and telling him to not laugh at a single thing he does. And they take it to like the next level by booing him and like calling him out and shit. And, like, he has one of the worst sets ever, and that was, like, a follow-up. But the best one is, I think one of the best ones, is to get him back. They go to a basketball game, and Amir wins. He goes to the bathroom, and when he goes to the bathroom, Jake comes out, gets the whole stadium. He's like, listen, when my friend gets back, we're going to call this half-court million-dollar shot. And no matter what happens, I need you guys to cheer as if he wins because it's a blindfold one. So Amir gets chosen, he goes down, he gets blindfolded, he throws the ball, misses like crazy, Everyone cheers as if he wins. He takes the blindfold off. Everyone's like confirming that he wins. The $1 million check is coming out. His whole life is changing. He's crying. He's shaking. It's just whole fucking life is just like and then the mascot takes off his head and it's Jake. And when he sees it, you see everything crumble. Yeah. Oh, and he gets him back. I mean, it keeps going. Yeah. I know I ruined a little bit of it.
So it was like a YouTube series?
YouTube series. It's okay. From College Humor back in the old days of College Humor. So before Dropout College Humor, like the Dropout TV College Humor, that's what they've become. Because
there was like a Comedy Central show that was kind of like this too, wasn't there? It was like two English guys, I thought.
Well, these guys aren't English. These dudes are American.
Yeah, but
I don't know what did they prank each other?
They did pranks. It was like
Is it Ed and Eddie? No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like two names.
Yeah.
Like Ed and Eddie, kind
of. Yeah, it's not. Oh Jesus! Now that I've said
blank
Ed and Eddie,
versus blank or
Kenny versus Spenny.
That's it. Kenny and Spenny.
Kenny versus Spenny. Yeah, that's what it was.
And that show was pretty funny. That was kind of like this.
Kind of like that. Okay. Yeah, but this was a YouTube thing. Okay. So I highly recommend it. Highly recommend looking up Jake and Amir Prank War on YouTube. Watch all those. They're fairly short. They're usually about 5 minutes. There's about six of them. And they're very funny.
Okay.
Seeing it happen. I don't want to keep ruining them. Amir asks Kumar, he's like, hey, do you want to go to this party? And he's like, oh, no can do. I have to stay high. I have to stay here and smoke this weed or else I won't get high. And I like that response. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. I love it. Wafflebot, fine print. The I'm pregnant scene. Okay, this is a little nitpicky. Why is it always like so high octane, like the emotions? So
because it is.
I get
you
it.
You mean a female who's pregnant? Why is it so high octane?
Because it's that's the most realistic thing about.
Yeah, I was like, that is the scene in this movie. Go, this is real.
Let me explain. I think that she probably didn't just find out she's pregnant. I don't think that she's coming to Kumar on day one of her finding
out. No, it's
probably
day three, five. Or
maybe she's known for a week or two. Maybe she's finding out her way to talk to him. Okay, she's had time to process.
I could tell you exactly how I processed when my wife first told me she was pregnant when we were still dating, pregnant with our first child. She told me, and I was just like, I'm going to go outside for a second and just kind of process this.
Yeah, you're
kind of
like,
I'm going to go smoke probably my last bowl for a while and a cigarette and process this, and I'll be back in a minute. And I went outside, and that's what I did. And she came out, and we were talking, and I was like, okay. And then reality set in. And it's like, all right, well, we're doing this.
But if you were as high as he was.
He was way too, you're watching Christmas Story while. Yeah.
But that's my point, though. It's like she knows who he is. She dated him for a long time. She knows
she
that he's
I knew you would be this way. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew exactly. So why the fuck is she getting all upset? That's my point. Like, if
do you know any women, Andy? Yeah,
dude, I know
hormones.
But no. But I'm
hormones
more
are a bitch.
Hormones are a bitch. Right.
But I have more respect for her as a person. Is what I'm saying. I feel like she has time to process. She shows up. She knows she's going to talk to her fucking stone out of her mind ex boyfriend or.
But she's also like three. She's supposed to be like 3 months pregnant because she's been gone for 3 months. Yeah. By that point, you're past your first try. You're in your second trimester. Your hormones are all over the place.
Yeah, but all he did was get distracted by the TV
when she was telling him a big life changing thing, like, "Hey, we're having a kid together."
Yeah, what?
Andy, I've seen you react worse to me if I look down at my tablet for 2 seconds. What are you talking about? Are you pregnant?
All I'm saying is that if I were to, if I had a partner, I would hope that they would know how, like, they would have an idea of my reaction to being like of this kind of news. Like, if I were a Kumar and I was that disrespectful
I'm
not. He's more destructive, I think, than I am.
My wife still brings up the fact that the first thing I did was go outside and process it. So,
not the best. So she didn't like that.
No,
they don't like that.
They don't like that
at all. like that at all. They don't like that you're not paying attention to
that
them.
That sounded super reasonable to me when you were saying it. I was that was awesome.
I did it very reasonably, but
it
she didn't like it.
It is reasonable to us.
Yeah, she didn't
reasonable
like that.
To us and reasonable to them are not the same thing.
She wanted to hear what was going on inside of my head, but inside my head was fuck,
right,
fuck.
There's nothing really going on in our head most of the time.
How am I going to? I will never financially recover.
Like, the question they like to ask you is, what are you thinking? And I'm like, nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking anything.
I'm in my nothing box right
now.
My
nothing box.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is this. If I were to walk up to somebody that I know very well has tendencies to do something, if I were to walk up to Batman, I'm friends with Batman, and I were to be like, and I had news, and that news was that the Joker currently is robbing a bank, I suspect Batman would then immediately go fuck off and go fight Joker, right. Correct? If I go to Kumar and tell him that I'm pregnant, I'm assuming that he's going to be too high, going to get distracted by the TV. So then why am I going to ramp my anger up to a fucking 11 and attack him? I get that you're saying hormones, and I get that. And so then fine. If we're just going to chalk it up to women be women and hormones and shit, then fine, I guess. But
well, just women are different than men in general.
She's 3 months in. She knows what's up. She fucking had, like, time to think about this. I think she's smart enough. She's been proven smart enough in the other movies to be able to handle this. Even at the end, she, like, is pretty cool with, like, you know, Kumar just still smoking weed and shit. Yeah. It just didn't add up. It felt like an artificial...
Well, I think it also
it usually does.
It also could be like, you know, showing kind of the downfall of their relationship from the get-go is like, this is kind of just who he was and what he was doing.
And she even actually kind of says,
yeah,
that.
She's like, you're not growing.
You're not growing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a hard thing for a woman that loves you to see you not grow.
Oh, trust me. I think every woman that's ever loved me. Shout out to anyone who's ever dated me and has not seen any growth or change.
Podcast is proof of growth, though.
No, it's not. This is just this is a minor drop in the bucket of what
you're growing weekly, Andy.
Yeah, and I need to be losing weight. Thanks for pointing it out.
I thought it was just winter weight.
It is. I'm getting fuck.
They're just started.
My last line was
I'm
just
not sure that was helpful there.
We're ready. We're ready. It's okay.
Just accept the just accept the human being in front of you as who they are, is what I was saying to her basically. It's just like, I feel like she just
I understand that feeling. I'm just saying realistically
like
those who've lived it, trust me, it was very normal interaction.
Fine. I
wasn't put off by it.
Okay. I feel like this isn't the first time they've had this fight, or they don't have this fight.
Oh, it's definitely not the first time, and not the last time.
Or they don't have this fight. Yeah. It's like, no, but the thing is, she
fight the rest of their life.
She could make that choice, but they just don't. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. They try and change us. That's what they do.
Statistically, people lose half their friends every 7 years. That's a scary statistic, and I'm thinking back.
It's kind of true.
Close, yeah. You lose a bunch of friends all the time. And then when Kumar shaves, I was like, oh, I like the beard. So sad.
Yeah,
when we hear Machete's backstory of the tree,
that's
super funny. How
Danny
Korean
Trejo
gangsters
the dad
killed his mom, and that was so funny. And then, there's a super weird editing choice that I picked up on, like a weird, I think, dropped scene. So when they're at the tree, and you have like the big, Tiny Tim, I guess was supposed to be the big Latino gangster guy. You know what I'm talking about? The one with the crutches.
Right.
Supposed to be Tiny Tim. And I didn't say it, but like, you know. But then there's the guy with the fucked up eyes. My eyes are fucked up. He says that,
I didn't
right?
see nothing, Tio. My eyes are fucked up.
And so when he says that, he says, I didn't see nothing. My eyes are fucked up. It cuts away, and he goes, and Machete says something, Danny Trejo. And then when it cuts back for the rest of the time that he's in the background, he's holding the side of his face like he just got hit. And then at the very end, he looks up kind of in afraid while holding the side of his face like he's going to get hit again. So what I think happened, I think Danny Trejo's character smacked him. And they cut it out, but the scene after, he had too good of a take after. Yeah. And they thought, no one would fucking notice. Because what, we'd be all too high? Well, sometimes that gives me superpowers to notice even more shit, Harold and Kumar. So,
I love that they brought the whole family with them to the Christmas.
Yeah,
stuff.
That was fucked up.
That was
very Christmas vacation.
Yeah,
but I like the tree being so important. Then when we get them together, I like that it's awkward at first. It's bitter. The joint really does bring them together. Lights the tree on fire. Great. I like the Christmas wrapping paper fucking window that he made, which wouldn't hold up
to
anything.
The guy that walks up and says he walks
It's like stained glass, but different.
But not.
But not. What's that? Getting the kid high. Smoking. We start with weed, which is great. I do have issues with the kid. Now, I did have issues. I put, like, how does the kid know what munchies are? How does the kid, like, know this word? Like, it's a child. How would they know what munchies are and relate it to being high? Like, she says, I want munchies. That's not something you say unless you know that munchies is a thing that high people call eating food. Unless she was really talking about the brand of chips that have a little bit of everything in it. Yeah. You know, like the pretzels and the Cheeto.
More than likely would be like, I want chicken nuggies.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a happy meal.
I want nuggets! Yeah. So I did have issues with her having too much adult knowledge, but she's literally the spawn of fucking Satan.
She loves Wu-Tang Clan.
She loves, look, yeah, nobody to fuck with, but yeah. Santa being real proves supernatural. Actually, the cheetah, them riding the cheetah in the first movie was proof of supernatural stuff.
And the Neil Patrick Harris
being coming back from life, going up to heaven and coming back proves heaven is real.
Yeah.
So I think that's my whole fucking thing.
The best thing I've ever seen is Neil Patrick Harris snorting cocaine up a stripper dressed as an elf.
Oh yeah, dude. The whole that he faked being gay with his actual husband, that was his real husband, but he fakes being gay to hook up with chicks.
Neil Patrick Harris in this is amazing. It's just amazing.
This is what brought back his career.
Yeah.
First Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Made him got him the role of Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother. He got that, and then by that point, I think during How I Met Your Mother or right after Harold and Kumar, he came out as gay.
Yeah.
Or maybe right before.
In there, yeah, somewhere. There.
But it was around then.
Yeah.
And then I think he became like a gay icon, gay hero. And
which also, How I Met Your Mother led us to Cobra Kai.
How?
By his obsession with main bad guy as the good guy of the movie.
Oh, it was Barney Stinson's take. Well, it was really the writers, I guess, then of How I Met Your Mother.
Did you write on that show?
Why? No.
that's your takes. It's like you.
Yeah. It would be. Yeah. Like, if I had a show by the end of this, we'd have a... Well, actually, shit. Disney's making it. It's called Mufasa, and it's about a sympathetic Scar.
That's right.
Which has been my whole
is,
fucking thing since the beginning of time has been like, I think Scar gets a bad rap. Oh, that's adorable. It's a picture of his kids wearing a Captain America helmet and then a Minecraft head.
Is that their Halloween outfit?
Yes. Then she went to Five and Below.
He's
going to
be a creeper from Minecraft?
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that explode?
Yes.
Is that what he's wearing?
That's what he's wearing, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the real, it actually does explode.
Does it?
Yeah.
In the game.
In the game? Or
no, in real life. That she just bought him an exploding head.
Exploding head.
Michael, I don't know where you think condoning actual child death is funny. This is something we don't fuck around talk around with. This is a real child that we really know. It's Brennan's son. I want you to apologize.
This episode already aired. The episode already aired.
No, but that's in a movie. That's with aliens and shit running around. This is real life, Michael. This is someone that we love vicariously through
Brennan. I didn't buy it. Talk to his wife.
I went to Thanksgiving with his family, and I spent quality time with his kids. I played with the Bluey doll, and they loved me for a few minutes. They won't remember who I am if they saw me
again.
It's funny.
Yesterday, before going to work, they both pulled out their costumes from last year and wanted to wear them. So my five-year-old was in his full Iron Man costume with his mask, and my youngest was in his full Batman costume with his mask, and he was walking. I was like, Reese, what are you doing? And he's like, no, Daddy, I'm Batman. Like, all deep voice.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
You
that's
do the
awesome.
Voice?
Yeah. That's well, all day. Come on, let's go. Like, he was.
I guess, yeah, it's October 12th. Yeah, October, early October. You can do that. That's fun. When that happened. That's Christmas time, though.
Shit, they do.
Christmas, everyone.
Last year, they were wearing those costumes all year. Like, afterwards, they just wanted to wear them constantly.
I bet it's pretty fun.
It's fun. It's hilarious.
I told them that you work at the White House, and Kumar going like, ha, who'd believe that? Very funny because he worked at the White House, the actor.
Yeah.
He was also in House. That's when he left House to go work in the White House.
Yes, he left House to go to the White House.
And they did him dirty in House.
What do you mean?
I think he killed himself
in the show. I don't remember what his write off was. I don't remember.
I think his write off was like they did him dirty. Like he killed himself, and they had to deal with that. Like the other interns or the other people that were his new, because he was part of the newer House team that came in.
He was on for a couple of years.
What did he do when he worked at the White House?
He was a
remember what his job was, but he was like in this, like, not speech writing, but like in that kind of a
He had a job though. It was like a legit
Was it under Obama?
Job, yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Under Obama?
Yeah, definitely Obama, under Obama. I think maybe all 8 years of Obama.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I mean that was like, and then I think after that he probably agreed to do a Harold and Kumar. And he did get fat. He got put on some weight.
Yeah. He got comfortable.
Yeah. Working at the White House.
Yeah, comfortable in life.
Yes. It's not a stressful life at all. Yeah. I put claymation scene.
Oh,
absolutely top notch. Super fun. Love it. The plan.
I loved before the claymation scene when they're like, I think the kids put something in that drink, either drugs or cum. And he's like, not cum.
Yeah. That whole party scene was fun.
Yeah.
I think even the beer pong trick was kind of stupid but fun.
That's great.
He bounces it off everything.
The roldy roll or
I also think Amir realizing mid about to get fucked that her dad's the most feared, and that's a really fun.
Are you going soft on me?
Fun montage of the dad killing everyone.
Yeah,
she's
great.
Like, you're gonna fuck me, and she's like pulling out his dick, and then it leads to her trying to rape them, which is very funny. It's like, no, he's single. You can fuck him. And he's like, yeah. But the plan that they make, which is like, well, here's the plan of getting inside. It's like, you'll distract him. We'll get the altar boy with a pillow. Come on. It's an altar boy pillow. And it cuts to the priest just running down a hallway after him. That whole fucking montage was brilliant. Because it really ramps up towards the end here. It's like the getting the kid high, them hiding when she gets like coked up and like becomes the Antichrist and starts running around. The claymation's great. The plan is great. Then we get Neil Patrick Harris, which is the highlight of the movie. Whole fucking part. He helps them out, like, you know, just, he's cool. Then we get them getting caught. We have the torture, well, the would-be torture scene. I like that they resolve those dudes' friendships they turn on them, and it's like, great, but well, I'm going to have to kill you first, and then Wafflebot saves the day. Wafflebot loves Kumar. Wafflebot loves Kumar.
These guys hate waffles.
Yeah, these guys hate, well, they love pancakes. Wafflebot hates pancakes. He fucks them up. The dick getting stuck to the pole.
That was
fucking
great.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So good.
Now, the fact that they set that up in the, like, one of the opening scenes of the movie with the tongue on the pole.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Super good.
That's great.
He, I've seen this in a movie once, if we're lost, and he shoots a shotgun up in the air. Terrible idea in real life. Especially since he hit fucking Santa, clipped his forehead from, I guess, a few hundred feet up. Some really powerful slug, or, like, I don't know what he was shooting. But he clips Santa's head. Santa crows down. Then we get the doctor scene. Go in Santa's gift bag and get as much medical supplies as you can. Doesn't even question it. Got it. Goes in, gets it, heals him up, which I love. How like it just fixes him. He's like, oh, I'm a little woozy, but cool. Gives him a ride. Fucking awesome. Harold standing up to Machete. Great scene.
Great scene.
Yeah.
Great scene. I love that Machete then also is like, this is what I've been waiting for.
What I was
can't
after.
Have my daughter dating some fucking pussy. And like, it's like, thanks. Then he says his name. It's like, no, it's Mr. Garcia. which is perfect, because that's how, I love it. And then, they're friends again, and it ends. I mean, honestly, this is a Christmas classic in my mind.
Yeah.
It's so Christmassy. The music is great. You get Santa, you get a little bit of the Antichrist.
I think it's Christmassy for us.
Yes.
It's not going to make anybody's list of classic holiday films unless it's written on rolling papers. And, well, ours is.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's okay for us.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure I'd show my granddaughter this movie.
No.
You know what I'm
no,
saying?
No, well,
it's not a classic Christmas movie
for everyone.
Well,
let me put it
everyone.
This way. If I know someone who likes rated R comedies,
yes.
I wouldn't show a child this.
No.
but I would definitely show like one of the our coworkers who hadn't seen it.
Teenager though, 14, 15, yeah.
But it's like if I knew like a young person who likes holiday movies, likes raunchy comedies, this is a way. This isn't even super raunchy. You do see a dick stuck to a pole and a kid on multiple drugs.
It's kind of raunchy.
It's pretty raunchy.
Yeah, but well acted all the way around. Love the cameos, like you said. A lot of guest actors. You got the dude from Reno 911. You got Bobby Lee. You've got.
Would you watch it with your grandma?
I would.
But my grandma's a stoner.
I watched Oz with my grandma, so I would watch Harold and Kumar with my grandma.
You know, I never had a strong relationship with.
What about your parents? I mean, your parents are.
I would watch this with my.
With
dad.
Your parents? I'm saying, with your dad, but not your mom. That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
I would watch it with my mom. Yeah, I wouldn't think anything wrong. Okay. It's just I don't think she would enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
mom,
why I wouldn't.
My mom
watch
wouldn't
it.
Enjoy it.
Like I just know she wouldn't have a good time. My dad would. Think it's funny.
My mom would love this.
I think I've watched this with my dad probably. Yeah. We go see goofy comedies all the time. My dad's like, I mean, just like, what's that movie? The Hangover. When we saw The Hangover the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a movie you might not want to watch with your parents, but I remember my dad thinking it's the best, funniest fucking movie he'd ever seen in his life.
Yeah.
Still, when the first Hangover came out, there was few movies that got that big of a reception of like, this is the funniest fucking thing. And no one was wrong. If you told anybody, go watch The Hangover.
No, this movie feels a lot like The Hangover. Yeah, it does. It has that feeling to it. That kind of adventure.
Destructive adventure.
That was like the first Harold and Kumar movie was like that. It was, even though it was a stoner-driven comedy, it was definitely well received by pretty much everybody.
Yeah. This was a fun conclusion. If it has to be the conclusion of Harold and Kumar, but I would fucking love one in their 40s.
I want to see a 50-year-old Harold and Kumar bad.
I want to see a Harold and Kumar Cheech and Chong crossover. That would be fun. That would be fun.
If they did
Cheech and Chong now at their age.
Harold and Kumar versus Cheech and Chong.
Versus?
Like, you just call it that. You just call it that, but it's really just them getting high. Maybe they do have big beef, but then they all just get high and forget about it or something. Like
they're, like, racing to a White Castle.
White Castle's last two hamburgers.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun. That'd be a pretty fun little thing. I give this a B-. It would be a straight B if it wasn't for the 3D gimmicks, in my opinion. I would have given it maybe even a B+, as far as I really like this movie. I love it. I've seen it so many times. It's just delightful. Everything about it makes me feel good. But the 3D gimmicks really don't hold up, in my opinion. So it knocks it down
not
to B-.
3D,
not without 3D, yeah.
Yeah.
If I would have watched it in 3D... with some sort of 3D capability. Like, I thought it was funny they were watching 3D on the 3D TVs, and I completely forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
So glad I didn't buy into that back then, because they were super expensive, and I almost bought
one. Perfect Christmas.
I almost bought one for Black Friday.
Did they buy one? I don't think they ever watched 3D on it.
No.
I put 3D content on there all the time. I don't think they ever did it once.
How did it work? I've never actually
glasses,
seen
like
one
they, like exactly like it looked
oh,
like
it had
in
glasses.
There.
No, I thought you were talking about the one that didn't have glasses.
Yeah.
No,
like you would,
there
was
regular one
that
TV, came out without glasses.
But you had glasses that you would have in your home. But I think they, like, yeah, I watched 3D stuff in there, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
not like VR.
Like, I could imagine playing games with the 3D would have been kind of interesting.
Killzone, I remember, had a 3D element to it that made it feel more immersive. But I never.
It just was like a gimmick that no one ever really played into, so it just kind of died out quickly.
Yeah.
But I think I would probably give this movie probably B- as well.
Okay, two B-.
That makes three. That's what I had it in.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a straight
four
up.
4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
B-. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. The very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
Now, I'm curious if I would have watched the extended, unrated version, if it would have been a different grade or not.
Was there one?
There was, but that one you could only buy on Prime. Like, this one was available for rent. The extended cut was a buy for, like, $15. I was like, I don't know if I want to buy it.
Huh. Did I watch the extended? I don't think I did. How long was your version?
Sparks Vahak 201-1080.
Hey, well, listen, let's not name the exact model of it, but mine was an hour and a half.
I think that's what ours was.
I think that's
too.
What ours
was. Okay, well, then there you go. All right, everybody. Well, join us tomorrow for another exciting Christmas episode. We'll get into something. Maybe it'll be dark. Maybe it'll be fun. We don't know exactly how I'm going to put these in order. But join us tomorrow. With
it'll
me as always, with me as always, it's Brennan Frosty the Snowman. Had a da 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 Shipley up to Boston.
Ho ho ho.
With me as always, it is Michael. He is not only as wise as he is handsome as he is old, and as old as he is Larson.
So is this where I bring out the bad jokes?
The bad
jokes? Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. And I need to think about my outros better. I'm Andy Rice. This is Christmas time. Your people, it's a present. Join us tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. It's a Friday night, Christmas, and I've invited everyone. Grab a pipe, a bong, a joint, and all have ourselves some fun. It's a Friday night, Christmas, and Andy's really high. He's gonna go on a tangent soon. The guys are standing by. It's a fried rice Christmas. Let's all smoke some pot. We love all of our listeners. You all mean a lot. It's a fried